Rundown from WUFT News, exploring our community from top to bottom. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. Coming up on the show, new renovations to Tom Petty Park in Gainesville include 8 brand new pickleball courts. And later, another edition of Constellation Conversation, where we talk to astronomers about their research and what we can expect to see in the night sky. But first, the University of Florida hosted the sole finalist for its presidential search yesterday. It's the former University of Alabama president, Stuart Bell. He also served as the president of the Southeastern Conference for 3 years. UF held a series of forums yesterday to introduce Bell to students, faculty, and staff. WUFT's Ailey Shaines was there, and I spoke with him about it earlier. Ailey, so who showed up for the forums, and what did they want to know?
Yeah, Kristen, so for the student forum, I would say about a dozen or so students came. A lot more showed up, actually, for the faculty forum, though. I'd say probably about 30 or 40. UF actually asked attendees to submit questions in advance beforehand online. And even then, though, not all of the questions were asked. They condensed the questions to about, I'd say, 5 or 6 per event. A lot of them addressed diversity, equity, and inclusion programs and academic merit. In the build-up to this, some, including U.S. Education Secretary Linda McMahon, actually raised concerns about how Stuart Bell addressed DEI at the University of Alabama. In a tweet last week, she said, and I'm reading this right here, Kristen, "We need bold leaders to reorient higher education toward merit, truth-seeking, and academic rigor. Florida has led the fight to get discriminatory DEI out of our schools and universities. UF deserves a president who will continue to drive those reforms." And so Stuart Bell said yesterday he's against these types of initiatives and followed the guidelines of the Alabama State Legislature during his time in Tuscaloosa.
Let's take a listen to that.
As I've said repeatedly, my own views have always been rooted in that simple principle of every individual should have opportunity, should be treated with dignity and respect, and every individual should be focused on merit, achievement, character, and the potential that has always been for them, and that has been my view.
Okay, so did he say what he'd have as priorities if he were confirmed?
Yeah, Kristen, so Stuart Bell says that academic success, research, and setting up students for job opportunities after school were some of his main focuses coming in. And he says that when all said and done, he wants UF to be a top 3 public university in the nation.
"We will work hard and we will be successful at moving the rankings that we have here, and importantly, all the things that are behind that rankings: student success, research success, scholarship success, and funding success."
And Kristen, as you know, I think this is something that's important to a lot of people here in Gainesville, but Bell also says that athletics are a big priority for him, including providing more resources to student athletes. And Kristen, here's a fact on Bell. In his time as president of the University of Alabama, the football team won 3 national championships and 6 SEC championships. And yesterday he did say he wants to win more championships here at the University of Florida.
So he came to UF and spoke with students, staff, and faculty. What are the next steps in the nomination process?
Yeah, so Bell is going to come back soon to the University of Florida campus. Next week, he'll meet with the UF Board of Trustees for an official interview. From there, they'll vote on whether to approve him. But the final step comes when Stuart Bell is put in front of Florida's State University System Board of Governors. If you remember, Kristen, last year, the Board of Governors prevented former University of Michigan President Santa Ono from taking the UF job. So if approved by UF's trustees, the State Board will make a final decision later this year. But there's no official date on that just yet.
WUFT's Ailey Shaines, thank you for your coverage on the UF presidential search process.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
If If you're just joining us, this is The Rundown from WUFT News. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. Florida has a lot of stories to tell. Do you know your community's history? It's time for a trivia question. Although it's not known for sure, this iconic building in Cedar Key is thought by many to be the oldest on the island, having been built sometime around 1860. Stay tuned to the end of the show for the answer. Eight brand new pickleball courts stretching across fresh concrete. This and more is what the recently renovated Tom Petty Park in Gainesville offers, and it's now open to the public. The city opened these eight courts earlier this year as part of a $2.6 million park renovation project that started over a year ago, adding this space to a growing list of places where locals can play. WUFT's Isabella Reynoso tells us more in this report from earlier this year.
From the minute players walk through the gate at Tom Petty Park, it's clear something has changed. Pickleball is quickly becoming one of those sports everyone seems to be talking about. And as more people across Florida pick up a paddle, the demand for new courts just keeps growing. And for players like Daniel Hill, pickleball has become more than an everyday hobby.
I've been playing pickleball for about 2 years, 2 years and a half now. I started playing it for fun with my dad and all that, and then after we started getting more serious.
Hill says what started as weekend games with his dad turned into tournament travel, daily drills, and hours on the court. All thanks to a park similar to Tom Petty, which allowed him to experiment with a new sport. Tom Petty Park is now a place where he can keep improving his skills.
We've been here for like about 2 hours and a half, 3 hours maybe, drilling already. It's like really fun.
Located at 501 Northeast 16th Avenue, Gainesville, Tom Petty Park has just been opened to the public after a $2 million renovation. Eight new pickleball courts allow for people like Daniel to experience this high-demand sport at any time of the day. Peyton Moore, a member of UF Pickleball Club, says she didn't take pickleball seriously at first.
My dad started playing pickleball, and I thought it was an old people sport, but I wanted to go play with him, and then I realized how much fun it was.
But what she found surprised her.
Actually, a ton of young people play it, and it's a super social sport.
Just across the park, I ran into two friends finishing a much friendlier match.
Courts were awesome. I was not quite as awesome. He gave me the work a little bit today.
Gainesville resident Liam Werner says the upgrades go beyond the plain surface.
If you hit the ball and you completely whiff like I do a lot, and the ball will just roll away into other people's games.
Here, the high fences keep the balls in and the games moving. Neighboring courts don't have to bother passing balls anymore. Harrison Leslie, a fellow Gainesville resident playing against Werner, says until now, players often had to wait for a court and sometimes play on surfaces that weren't in the best shape.
I know they've been planning to build these for a while now. I think they're definitely the nicest courts in Gainesville now. Yeah, it was nice to be able to come here, not wait in line, and then have courts in such nice shape without cracks and with the fences all around it.
Werner says the sports growth has been hard to ignore, especially in Florida's cooler months when outdoor courts stay busy from morning to sunset.
The courts are always full.
As the afternoon light casts over Tom Petty Park, games overlap with four, five, or six rallies happening at once. For students discovering the sport for the first time, it's a chance to learn the game without long drives or crowded facilities. And for longtime Gainesville residents, looking for a court without a wait, it simply means more access, more play, and a place to gather as a community. Isabella Reynoso, WUFT News.
The city of Gainesville is actually holding a ribbon-cutting ceremony for Tom Petty Park this Saturday at 10 a.m. If you're just joining us, this is The Rundown from WUFT News. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. Coming up on the show, another edition of our occasional series, Constellation Conversation. This week, we'll hear from an astronomer about distant planets and what they can tell us about life on Earth. That's coming up after the break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Rundown. I'm Kristen Shermont Spina. Before we get to our Constellation Conversation segment, there was some major news out of Tallahassee this week. A proposal to drastically change property taxes will go before voters this November. Douglas Soule has more.
At least 60% of voters must vote yes for the reduction to happen. House Speaker Daniel Perez says they have a good product to consider.
No one wants taxes. The details of how to come to a final product has been a long road. But I'm proud of the opportunity that we are giving the voters by letting them decide if this is something that's going to come to fruition or not.
This proposal would greatly increase the homestead exemption on the property taxes that don't go towards schools. Some Republicans worry about how this will affect local government services, yet all but a couple voted yes. Most Democrats were opposed, including Senate Democratic leader Lori Berman.
I think it could potentially bankrupt some of our local counties and cities.
Democrats also say it'll lead to fee increases to cover lost revenue. I'm Douglas Soule in Tallahassee.
For thousands of years, humans looked up at the night sky and wondered, what is up there? To try to answer that question, we're back with another part of our occasional series called Constellation Conversation. Today, we hear from Natalia Guerrero, a graduate student in the astronomy department at the University of Florida. She tells us about her work studying exoplanets, or planets outside our solar system, and what that can teach us about life here on Earth.
Started in astronomy because in high school it felt like a science that had room to grow in. The way that science is taught, it often feels like everything's figured out already. So having a field that felt like it still had a lot of mystery to it was really appealing to me. I think what specifically interested me in astronomy was how there's so much unknown there, and at the time I was really interested in the question of dark matter and how there can be so much of the universe that we don't even understand, like, what it's made out of. And now I study exoplanets, so planets around other stars, and they're so rich in the imagination. Like, there's so much sci-fi about exoplanets and about going to other planets. So having this field that is so in conversation with how we imagine things and what we think about. My research in exoplanets is specifically for systems of multiple exoplanets around really small, cool red stars. And these kinds of stars are the most common in the galaxy. The sun is actually a minority. We don't see a whole lot of stars like the sun in the galaxy. And this feels kind of like a census, understanding what patterns in planet populations there are, and looking for questions of how did these planets form? Why do these systems look the way they do right now? Favorite part about studying exoplanets in particular is how much it tells us about how precious Earth is. So many of these exoplanets are not habitable, and that's one of the questions I get asked a lot is there another one? Is there a planet that we can go live on? And the answer right now is pretty much no. We really need to take care of the planet we're on right now. Having a planet that's tilted over, that rotates, that has seasons, that has weather, that has clouds, is such a unique and precious thing. So that's been the biggest surprise, I think, is my favorite planet now is Earth. June is a great month for looking at the night sky because we have a lot going on in the evening sky and in the morning sky. Right now, if you look up in the evening, you can see both Venus and Jupiter, and they're both really bright, and over the course of the next week or so, they're going to get closer together to each other in the sky, and so even just without a telescope, without binoculars, you can see both of those. Another thing you can see is now the Big Dipper is coming back. And if you do have a pair of binoculars or really good eyesight, one of my favorite things to tell people is that the middle star in the handle of the Big Dipper is actually two stars. And you can pick those out if it's really clear. Sometimes you can do it naked eye, but definitely with a pair of binoculars. When I go stargazing, I can sometimes get lucky in town, just like from a parking lot that doesn't have too many lights. But sometimes I like to go out to the Eco Passage Overlook on the 441. Or I will go actually just out to the beach, even though the moisture from the water will sort of make it a little bit hazy sometimes, because there's so much less light pollution out there, like at Cedar Key, for example, you can get some really good views of the night sky.
Natalia Guerrero is a graduate student in the astronomy department at the University of Florida. If you're just joining us, this is The Rundown from WUFT News. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. As a reminder, our trivia question this week: although it's not known for sure, this iconic building in Cedar Key is thought by many to be the oldest on the island, having been built sometime around 1860. The answer's coming up at the end of the show. That's after a quick break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Rundown. I'm Kristen Shermont-Spina. June is LGBTQ plus Pride Month. This month focuses on visibility and activism for queer people in the United States. In honor of this month, we're bringing you a story from last year from WUFT's Sarah James Ranta. She sat down with Gainesville native and drag queen Kelly Kelly, who performs twice a week at the city's only LGBTQ bar, the University Club.
Doing my makeup is like my safe space before I hit the stage. It's what makes me feel beautiful. It's the process of getting beautiful. So I respect it and relax in it. Hi, so my name is Kelly Kelly, and I work at the University Club full-time. I've been the entertainment director since 2017, and I've been working here since 2013. My earliest memory of performing was when I was performing in my school's production of Rent. It was one of my first introductions to myself doing drag, and I felt comfortable doing it because it was under the guise of, oh, this is a musical. I had already had my experience with drag, like in high school doing the musical, so when I came out onto the gay scene and like I actually started dating a drag queen, we ended up calling it off. They abandoned their drag at my home, and it was like that devil in the closet. I was like, do I go over there? Do I put on that wig? Is that cat suit there for me? And you know, one day the itch got it really needed to be scratched.
Your first day is saying, you know her, you've been there before, you definitely know her. She's here each and every Thursday and Friday night. She is an ever so talented and accomplished. She is Miss Kelly T.
I am born and raised Gainesville, Florida. I've always noticed that there was a strong LGBTQ scene in Gainesville, even from high school. Growing up in Florida is a different story because I've always been very conscious and grateful of the fact that we are very sheltered here in Gainesville from a lot of the ways of thinking that are shared across the state of Florida. When I do go to other places, it is like we're looking over our shoulder, or we're like, what are people thinking of us? Is this a safe place to be in? Do I have to be worried while I'm walking to my car at night? I think Florida as a whole has a lot of work to do, though. I think that Kelly Kelly is an extension of who I am. She's just bolder, louder, prettier, and she oftentimes smells better. And you know, to be honest, I don't get the choice whether or not to carry Kelly Kelly into my personal life or not. In my spare room, there are approximately 10,000 pounds of glitter ingrained into my floor that remind me daily that Kelly is stuck with me. It's just such impactful work, and at the core of drag entertainment is advocacy. And I think using your voice to speak for others is one of the most powerful things you can do. So that's why I choose this career, because I'm not just entertaining for me. I'm not just speaking for me. I'm not just representing me. I'm representing a league of people who are not seen, who are not heard, and want to be felt.
This is the spot to come and be who you are. So damn it, I'm gonna keep coming. I'm gonna keep showing up and dressing up until they burn it down or kick me out. I put my wig on very last, dead last. When you see me flip down like this and they wig come over, that means it's time to start the show.
As I told you guys, I'm Kelly Kelly. This is the University Club. Make some noise for the UC.
That was Gainesville drag queen Kelly Kelly speaking with WUFT's Sarah James Ranta, who produced this piece in 2025. The Rundown is a production of WUFT News out of the University of Florida College of Journalism and Communications. The team that made the show possible this week includes Dave Bereswain, Dana Hill, Ailey Shanes, Isabella Reynoso, Emiliano Luna, and Sarah James Ranta. Special thanks to the Dean of the College, Hub Brown, and Newsroom Director Ethan Majok. Do you have questions or comments about the show today or ideas for future shows? Email us at therundown@wuft.org. And if you want to go back and listen to this episode again, I don't blame you, or any of our previous episodes, you can find this show in your podcast feed on wuft.org/therundown or wherever you get your podcasts. Our trivia question this week was, although it's not known for sure, this iconic building in Cedar Key is thought by many to be the oldest on the island, having been built sometime around 1860. The answer? The Island Hotel. According to the very detailed history on the hotel's website, the building that is there now a hotel was originally a general store built just before the outbreak of the Civil War. After becoming a hotel and changing hands a number of times throughout the 20th century and into the 2000s, it remains an iconic part of the Cedar Key landscape. That's it for the Rundown. I'm Kristen Shearmont-Spina.